And now, Ben Bailey.
He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He ever lives to make intercession for them. My friends, if we try to lay another foundation, 1 Corinthians 3 and 4 teaches that foundation and those who built upon it will one day be burned up. It will not stand the test of time. But if we lay the foundation of Jesus, then it will stand because it's the solid rock foundation. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Now, there is a practical application here, a very practical application. If Jesus is the founder and the foundation of the church, is it possible for men to come along 1,500, 2,000 years later and found another church? There's only one church in the Bible, Ephesians 4, verse 4, Matthew 16, verse 18. It's the church of Jesus Christ, Romans 16, verse 16. And if men come along 1,500 or 2,000 years after Jesus has already established His church and lay another foundation, claim themselves to be the founders, name it after themselves, is that really the foundation God intended? Can that be the church? You read it out in the New Testament. My friends, the answer is absolutely not. Jesus is the only founder of the church. And since Jesus is the founder of the church, notice how we play a role in that. Christians are part of God's temple today in that our bodies belong to Him. We, as individual members, are part of the temple of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Paul says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8 says that, again, we have the Holy Spirit. Acts 5 verse 32. In Ephesians 1, He is identified as the seal or guarantee. Colossians 3 verse 16, we're to let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. Ephesians 5 verse 18, we're to be filled with the Spirit, singing to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What does all that teach us? If we're the temple of God and if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, it must do so by the medium of the Word of God. John 16, verse 13. That's how the Holy Spirit revealed Himself and His will, was through the Word of God, through men and women in the first century. And so when we talk about being a temple of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about Christians who've been sanctified, who put the Word of God into their life and are living it out. They are the place where God's Spirit resides as long as they have the Word, the medium by which the Spirit resides in them. Now, we're not saying anything miraculous. We're not saying God is whispering to us or talking to us. Simply, as the Word of God lives in our lives, as we apply its teaching, as we live by its principles, that's how the Holy Spirit indwells Christians today through the Word. Now, is there a practical application here? Sure there is. It's a very practical application. If we are the temple of God and He, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us through the Word, then my friends, we must never, ever do anything to defile our body. Think about how important it is to God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "Our body belongs to God." Let's make it more practical than that. You would never want to do anything to your body that would cause undue harm and that would disgrace the Lord and the Holy Spirit. That means this. You don't want to do drugs. Drugs are going to harm your body more than you ever know. You're bringing things into it that are poison to your body. Alcohol, you don't want to take alcohol into your body. It destroys your brain cells. It causes you to do things with the body that you may not even know about. You want to behave yourself in a sexually pure way. If we are the temple of God, that means that all sexual relations outside of the marriage bond are sinful. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God's going to judge. Don't do anything to make your body impure sexually. That means that things such as smoking cigarettes or dipping tobacco are things that are sinful because they will harm your body. They've been proven to cause cancer, to cause lung problems, something that's not healthy for you, that you are unnaturally bringing in your body. I'm not talking about breathing air, some air that may be polluted. That's not what we're talking about here. You've got to breathe. But friends, you don't have to take a puff on a cigarette and bring that into your lungs. That's a choice you make. And when you make that knowing that that's harmful to your body, you have done something to the temple of God which you shouldn't have. Now, let's make it a little more practical. Gluttony is a sin that is just as wrong as drugs and impurity in your sexual life and smoking. When we bring more food into our body in a gluttonous way than we ought to, and we just eat and eat and eat and have to stuff ourselves, and our heart can't handle it and our blood vessels can't handle it, and have we really dealt with the temple of God as He wants us to? You know, laziness would also be a way in which we're not dealing properly with the temple of God. If we allow ourselves to become so lethargic and so lazy that we can't do anything but sit on the couch, then, my friends, have we really dealt with the temple of God in the way He wants us to? Let's think about these things. Let's examine ourselves and see, can't we improve our own body and its use for the kingdom of God by not doing some of these things? Now, here's another principle that Paul makes concerning the body of Christ, and it's this. Christians belong to Christ. And ultimately, they belong to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 23. Paul has already said, we're the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But look at 1 Corinthians 3, and I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 23. You are Christ, very simply, you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Now, friends, as a Christian, I belong to God. My life belongs to Him. Everything that I have belongs to Him. My time, my money, my energy, everything that I have has been given to me by the giver of all good gifts. James 1, verse 17. That being the case, how I need to spend my life glorifying God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, then Paul teaches us not only are we faithful stewards of God, but we're faithful servants of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, and as faithful servants of Christ and stewards of the gospel, we must never, ever go beyond what's written in Scripture. I'm a faithful steward of the Word. I'm a servant of Christ. What's that mean? I've got to stick with the book. I want you to notice especially 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at the admonition in verse 6. Don't miss this. This is a powerful principle for New Testament Christianity. Notice what the Scripture says. Paul has here figuratively transferred some things to himself and Apollos. He says, for your sakes, now notice this, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. Paul portrayed some things figuratively. So people would hear the message, but here was the point. He said, I did this so that you could learn by what we have figuratively transferred into ourselves as an example, not to go beyond what's written. What's the principle for us? My friends, if you want to find New Testament Christianity, if you want to be a Christian like they were in the first century, do this. Make up your mind. I'm not going to go beyond what's written. Can you imagine the plethora of problems that would solve? If we said to ourselves, here's the boundary. I'm not going beyond what's written in the book. I'm only going to stick with the Word of God. And for New Testament Christians under the new law, Matthew through Revelation is where we find God's directives for salvation and worship for us today. Proverbs 30 verse 6 says this, do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Paul was amazed at some in the region of Galatia, for they were so soon turning away from Him who called them into the gospel of Christ, to another gospel. Paul says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And here's his encouragement. He said, even if we or an angel from heaven bring to you or preach to you any other gospel, don't believe it. Let him be accursed. Remember Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19? We're not to add to nor take away from the things written in the book. John 12, verse 48, Jesus said this. Here's the standard we're going to be judged by. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, he has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken in the last day will judge him in the last day. And so the words of Christ is what's going to judge us when I stand before God. I'm not accountable to the law of Moses. John 1 verse 17 says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth are in Christ. That law is a dead law, Romans 7 verse 4 for Christians, and that law, verse 7, contained the Ten Commandment Code. And so we're not bound by those laws. We're bound by the laws of Christ. Now, what questions then might we ask from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 to make sure that we're really right with God? Any practice that you're about to partake in, any action you're about to do as far as a religious thing, here's what you ought to ask. Number one, where is that found out in the Bible? Where can I find support to do this in Scripture? Romans 14, the very last verse 23 says, if it's not of faith, It's sin. And so I've got to ask, where is the support for this action, this teaching, this doctrine in the Bible? Does God approve of it? Or does God condemn it? If He approves of it, then I better do it. If He condemns it, then I surely want to stay away from it. And what is implied by the silence of the Scriptures on this subject? My friends, we talk about the silence of the Scripture, we're really talking about the voice of what God has said. For example, Hebrews 7, verse 14, the writer concerning the priesthood, of the Levitical priesthood, and Jesus not being of that tribe, the tribe of Levi, said this, of that tribe, of the tribe of Judah, he spoke nothing, implying that since God never said anybody from Judah could be a priest, that automatically excluded the whole tribe. Why? Because he did say people from the tribe of Levi would be priests. So when God said what he wanted, that excluded everything else. Now that applies very powerfully to the New Testament today. When God tells us what he wants, that's all he wants. I don't have to wonder. When God says sing, I don't have to wonder. Then does he want a mechanical instrument also? Does he want me to play a flute? Does he want me to get a guitar? No. When God said sing, that's all he wants. We must never go beyond what's written in the Scripture to please God. Now, Paul also teaches us in 1 Corinthians 4 that we need to be people who are imitators of godly men and women. Imitate those things, Paul will say, which are good. Be imitators of the godly. If we're really going to follow the pattern of Christ and Christianity, we need to make sure that we're following the right things. And friend, the best advice we could ever give anyone, 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for this were you called, because Christ also suffered and died, leaving us an example that we should follow in His footsteps. Our encouragement to you, especially relating to the text of 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, where so many people were getting caught up in what men were teaching, maybe even their personalities and their speaking styles, is this. Make sure your motto is to follow in the footsteps of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul said, I want you to imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Honestly ask yourself today, have I been following in the footsteps of Christ? Am I a faithful child of God? Have I even obeyed the gospel? Maybe you've done what some preacher, no matter how good they may have sounded, told you to do. And maybe it's beyond or not found in Scripture. Friend, if that's the case, we encourage you today to obey the gospel, to become a New Testament Christian. You can hear the Word, Romans 10, verse 17. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24. Be willing to repent of sin in your life, Acts 3, verse 19. Confess the name of Christ before men, Romans 10, verse 10, and Acts chapter 8, verse 37 following. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Here's what Peter said. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Have you done that? My friend, we kindly say to you today, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you're lost and you're headed down the road to hell. But you can change that by obeying God's will.